Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a Reaction Monday. We are reacting to a pretty tough loss for your Texans on Sunday. They fall with a last-second field goal. 18-15 was the final in favor of the Broncos. 713-572-4610 is the number to get in. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Well, first of all, happy Monday, question mark, to
yeah,
John
happy
Lopez.
Monday, happy Monday, question mark. You know what's funny? You guys know this, and our listeners know this. Sometimes even after I sleep on it, I come in here and I'm kind of hot. You know, just sort of like it just still lingering. I'm still mad about something. You know what's weird? I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad today. It's almost like it's a combo meal of resignation, confusion, not really surprised. Was anybody surprised in the second half? Was anybody surprised when things started to go that way?
I
wasn't.
Yeah. You there's this a lot of the things that we've been talking about for the entirety of the season kind of showed up in various different ways. But at the same time, like, there's something in you, and maybe it's just the hope that exists.
Yeah, oh, sure.
That imagines that, all right, but it's not going to go down like that for real, right? And then just slowly, three and out, after three and out, after four and out, after five and out, that hope drains, and you're just like, oh, wow, it really is going to go down like this. They're actually going to take a game in which that might have been one of the ugliest football games that I've had the pleasure, of watching. Right, like just that was a long game. It was an ugly game. And the thing that sitting next to Sean Bajani during that game, I was like, well, at least the good thing is you got the lead before a lot of the terrible, no good stuff started happening, before the rock fight really started in earnest.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, if this is a rock fight and you have a lead, that gives you an opportunity, and it just drained and it drained and it drained until you had a redo of week two versus Tampa with Bo Nix playing the role of Baker Mayfield. You know, scrambling on a late down, picking up a first down, and then ultimately
almost
setting up the
exact same spot. But the overarching feelings I have today are kind of confusion and intrigue. And this is this
intrigue.
And I'm intrigued in this, and I'm curious how you guys feel, if you feel the same way. From the very, very start, D'Amico Ryans and company have talked about you need to be tough. You know, you need to have discipline. The do your job. Yesterday, he talked about willpower. You know, he was specifically talking about the red zone, but you got to have willpower and, quote, displacing guys. And what I'm intrigued and confused about with all that is I don't think they didn't have that. I should say, I think they had that. I think this line, by and large, we're in the right spots. They are tough guys. They are quote unquote, doing their job by and large. Obviously, we're going to talk about some things where they didn't, but I think it's just as simple as this. They're just not good. You know, and that's the resignation, and that's the intrigue. He went on the podium yesterday, he being D'Amico Ryans, and said the same thing. It's just got about being tough, guys, about willpower, about displacing guys, about, do your job. I don't think they were awful when it came to doing the things that they ask. They're just not good enough. And I think he's kind of confusing himself.
There was a frustration along those lines with that, but I just want to raise a question to the general audience. What do you think lost the Texans this game, if you had to try and isolate a single thing? And I think that the exercise will probably get us to a point where we look up and we go, oh, there's a lot of little things. There's a lot, because you're right. You talk about the idea of, you know, just doing your job, or, you know, the thing that kind of got to me in the audio with D'Amico, or with, you know, when he steps to the podium after the game, is it's a similar refrain, and it's not even just the idea that it's the same refrain. Mm-hmm. It's that it makes me, so much of it is just, we need to do better. We need to execute better. We just need to, and it's like the margins are so thin in ways that at what point do we not get to a place where you're kind of banging your head up against the wall and you look and you go, hey, this is not the strong suit of this team. Let's do something different. If I had to answer my own question that I put forward as to what lost this team the game, it's the red zone. It is a supreme inability to get 2 yards when 2 yards are there. Shout out to Texans Cap, because I saw he posted this morning. Mm-hmm. He went and kind of isolated for touchdowns scored within 2 yards of the goal line for any team in the NFL. 31 teams have scored within 2 yards, scored at least a touchdown when they've been within 2 yards of an end zone. Do you know who has not scored?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure I do.
I don't know. Figgy, you might be able to know the NFL team that even, through 9 weeks has not one, scored Figgy. A touchdown when they're within two yards. Do you know what it is?
I don't know. Tell me.
It's the Houston Texans, man. Like, and this, there's something to the idea that D'Amico Ryans. In fact, you know what? Let's hear it, because I don't want to keep saying it. This is D'Amico Ryans' cut 11. This is him asked about getting turned around with the offense and, you know, what it takes in the red zone.
For us offensively, again, it all goes back to, and it's in the red zone. We got to do a better job of finding a way to get in the end zone. Like, if we can't get in the end zone, score points, it's going to be hard.
Okay, so I agree with you. That, to me, if I had to say one thing, it would be that. But I think that speaks to my point, my intrigue and confusion. Like, I don't think they necessarily – there wasn't a lot of blown assignments in the red zone. Nobody went the wrong direction. They were just flat out – they got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like that to me is the confusion. And he's up there saying, you know, gotta have the willpower. They had the willpower, man.
To some degree, I think that there's instances where, like
– No, I think completely they did. Like Jake Andrews was in the right spot and got put on his ass. Jake Andrews is a tough guy. He earned this job because he's one of those tough guys that does everything right and has the willpower and all that. We've heard them talk. We've heard their offensive line talk about it. D'Amico Ryans talk about it. Nick Cayley talk about it. I think they're just not good enough.
Well, I don't disagree with you there, right? But I will point down to, like, obviously you end up with a penalty that pulls you off of that.
Well, that's separate. Yeah, right?
But I'm talking about, like, when they were. That's separate. I think that's part of it.
No. But what I'm saying is, on the plays that they ran cleanly inside the 2 yard line, they were all doing the right job. They were all going to the right spots. They were all tough guys and got their ass kicked.
Yes, I mean, but you're separating out some data points where you're not executing clearly in those places. But
no,
I think
again, we're talking about two different things.
I think that those are the same thing, man. Not, making sure that not, you're clean in not, those instances.
They're not the same thing. What you're talking about is a penalty that pushed them back. What I'm talking about, the plays they got off.
I'm with you on the plays that they got off. Yeah. I don't think you can ignore the instances, but I don't think that we need to go back and forth on that, because I think we're aligned close enough on the idea of when they have lined up. There was a play where you have Lakin Tomlinson there at left guard, where, you know, a player is going to slide in and be able to stop a play. That happens from time to time with any team, right? Whether you're good on the offensive line or not. The one play where I think about the most on the goal line of the six, mind you, when you're right there under the shadow of your own goal, or right there almost at pay dirt, whatever, was you have British Brooks running into a gap that has been created by your offensive line, all blocking the right way. And it's just Drake Greenlaw beating you to a spot. In fact, you even have on that play, because it's I formation, British Brooks is at the fullback. I believe it's Woody Marks as your tailback, who is motioning to the left. That actually gets Drake Greenlaw to move. Like, you get everything that you want on that play, except Drake Greenlaw is able to put his foot in the dirt, trigger, get to the meet British Brooks in the hole, and he's just better. Like, Drake Greenlaw is at some point all pro level player, and he got British Brooks running into that gap. Like, you're right. I think that some of this is also an acknowledgement that, you know, this team, it just does not have the talent offensively. However, before I even get to the however, and this has been a team that is all season, all the way from the offseason, is like, we don't need to have the best talent. We just need to overcome that talent with our execution. And you're right. The red zone did feel like it showed that is a far-fetched idea, the idea you're going to overcome with talent. But I also want to meet that with, when you do not have an advantage or even maybe at a disadvantage with talent, that's where I hope that coaching overcomes some of that.
Yeah.
And seeing, I mean, I got to be honest. Something in me died watching a goal line stand or an opportunity there where you just run into the muck 4 times in a row.
Right.
Or a number time and time. Especially when you consider that this is also a stark deviation from the other times, where a few weeks ago when you were in that circumstance and you throw three times in a row and are not able to get in. And one, that does speak to the idea that you're just not good enough in those spaces. But then two, it feels like this is the best that we have to offer in this circumstance that is so crucial, turning, 7-3, which then ultimately bites you in the ass on the back end of this game because your coordinator is not able to not even just like give you an innovative play on that goal line. It's already tough enough. We see red zone being a really tough circumstance for a lot of teams in the National Football League. Not that I'm creating excuses, but understanding in context. Right. You can't even give me a mix of run pass.
No, exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned the way that they have been calling plays as well. But I think it comes down to they believe in an illusion, and it's become a delusion.
Yeah.
And nothing illustrates that more than their own final drive with a minute left. DeMeco had seen he had seen what was happening. He had seen that they have 87 yards in the second half. They weren't able to do anything, and then they go back and give the Broncos the opportunity to win the game. And that's a delusion. They were delusional there. But they've created this illusion with we're tough, we're strong, all these things that I've said, willpower and all that. I don't know what's worse, them believing it or expecting us to believe it. This is DeMeco talking about it.
Yeah, the thought there, we wanted to get some quick passes to get us moving. We're trying to drive down and, of course, try to get in field goal range to have a couple quick incompletions. It was not the plan at all for us.
It was not the plan, but it was what was happening. Like I said, the best way I can put it is they've created this illusion, and it's become a delusion. That was delusional to believe that you could get the ball in that situation at that was a 13-yard line, something like that, at that place in the field, and go, hey, let's get some quick passes, let's move it on down the field. Nah, man, that's not how it should have gone.
Hey, John, I feel like I found myself in debt this in my lifetime because making less than $1 million a year was not in my plan. But this is the circumstances. You have to be able to be adaptable and understand what's happening. And I was very frustrated by that, just like I think you were. Would you like to play a game here where we go, go by drive by drive for this Texans team in this game and just look at what even just the second half? Because
the second half is like the most obvious one.
Like we've gotten 12 minutes in the show. We haven't mentioned that, obviously CJ Stroud is, concussed and is lost early on in the second quarter in this game. And then Davis Mills has to come in. I acknowledge that any NFL team that has to go to their backup, and especially without the benefit of preparation of a week going into the week.
Right.
That's a tough proposition. I don't want to ignore that. But that's also should factor in to your game plan. So you have that. All right, second quarter, maybe I can even give you some grace there. Let's get to the second half for your Houston Texans. We begin in the second half, drive number one, field goal. Hey, look at that. Putting points on the board, great. Punt. That's the end of the third quarter. We go to the fourth quarter. Punt. Game.
Yeah.
Right? And mind you, that is, let me take that back to the top. After you get that field goal, three and out punt. Start the fourth quarter. 5-and-out punt, 4-and-out punt because you had a penalty in there, and then 3-and-out punt, 3-and-out punt. Right, you had established a pretty solid trend in that game that your offense was not moving the football, and so I think I understand the idea. Oh, we want to throw the football. In that instance, you need to be realistic and understand this offense has not been able to get it done as currently constituted with the circumstances of not having CJ and having Davis in. Right, you have not been able to move the football. You get that ball with 1:24. Me personally, and this isn't even the benefit of foresight, forethought, whatever you want to see, or hindsight is what I'm thinking about in that instance. We're sitting up there in the press box and saying, okay, look, you're going to run this out, try and get to, get to overtime so that you can give. I understand you're going to still need to go score a touchdown, right? Or go score some points.
Anything, yeah.
But if you get to overtime, maybe you get a good return, right? Maybe you're able to, maybe if your defense on the field first, maybe you can get a turnover, right? Maybe you have just more time to possibly matriculate your offense down the field. 1:24 with the way that this offense was working, that was an additional defender that was playing against you. And you decided we're going to try and do the thing that has not been working. I understand running the football probably wouldn't have got you anywhere. I think I was very much convinced that I had no belief in this offense.
But why are you not playing, let's get to overtime. You have a whole quarter. Maybe there's a break. You get better field position, all that. And that goes back to my initial takeaway here. I'm more confused because they're fooling themselves. It's like, all right, so let's say, Figgy, you know, every time you walk out your back door, there's a little dog that bites your ankle. You walk out the door. How many was it? Eight, seven drives?
Seven drives in the second half. One of them is a field goal. The remaining six are punts.
You walk out your back door six times, and that dog bites your ankle. You think you're going to walk out the seventh, and it's not? That's what they're doing. They're saying, like, look, willpower, you know, doing your job, discipline, being tough. I don't doubt any of those things. But it doesn't matter when you can't.
You ain't going to outpower the Denver Broncos defense like that.
Willpower is not going to get you out of that situation. In fact, willpower and your belief and fooling yourself into thinking that it's different lost you the game.
Especially because, again, I think that that was a moment in which you had an opportunity for game planning, or maybe not game plan, that's not the right word, but like game management to possibly give you.
Yeah, a chance.
To give you a chance or maybe pull back closer. The difference in that game. It's not like the Broncos offense was that much better in that game, mm-hmm. right? I think that there was an opportunity for you to try and make up the difference of what you lost by CJ Stroud getting down by having your coaching make some really good decisions there. And I
then you gave him life.
That was left on the table.
Then you gave him life. You gave him field position. Bo Nix decides to do what Bo Nix has been prone to do in the fourth quarter. And boom, you lose the game. They're fooling themselves. If I had to just funnel it down into one thing, they're fooling themselves. They are tough. They are all these things. But they're fooling themselves to think that that's what's going to win a game. The talent is going to win the game when you've got tough guys and they don't have it.
And then on top of that, right, you talk about the talent winning you a game. How about one of the best talents that we've seen thus far this year? One of the few guys that you could look at from Nick Casario, in his offseason and go, wow, good acquisition. Jalen Noel got 11 offensive snaps in this game.
11. Christian Kirk got 41.
And I'm not even sure like that buried you per se, but again, what lost you this game? It's a lot of these little things. Mm-hmm. I would say specifically not being able to score a touchdown in the red zone. Obviously, this is a 3-point game, and if you can give yourself four additional points in one of those circumstances, boom, you're in a different place. But it's the little things. I think you're right. Probably the actual answer is just a level of delusion from mm-hmm. this team thinking that, you know, we're just going to tough it out. We're just going to thug it out. We're just going to want it more to get ourselves to victories. And now you're 3-5. Looking up at a lot of teams in the AFC, a lot of teams that seem to be going pretty well in the AFC, and I don't know how good I could feel about this team at this moment.
Man, being tough and all that stuff, it's so important, but you got to have the talent. That's these kinds of things that they're talking about that I've mentioned multiple times in this segment, that's what might win you in a game in high school or Division III or whatever. You know, being a good, tough, physical, you know, all things being equal, all that team. This is the NFL. You're not good enough, you're going to lose. And they weren't good enough.
Definitely weren't good enough on the day. There's a lot to talk about in this game, 18-15 loss to the Denver Broncos. Let's keep talking about that. We got through the whole first segment, and we really didn't talk very much about one of the biggest things that happened in this game. CJ Stroud goes down with a concussion. How did you feel about the play? And, you know, not necessarily that we're looking forward already, but do you think that this team is already done if Davis Mills has to come out and play? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reacting to... A Texans loss 18-15 versus the Denver Broncos. A game in which, I mean, we had a lot of respect for the Broncos coming to this game. This Texas, the Broncos offense did not show up in a huge way. You were able to slow down that run game that was, you know, talked very highly about. Just unfortunately, a few things really hampered your opportunity pretty early. And I think a couple of them I could think of were injuries. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones was what happened here on this play. CJ Stroud, a third and long, decides to do something that I think a lot of us have been asking for. Use your legs, CJ, use your legs. Unfortunately, it sounds like this.
Three receivers to the right. Stroud of the gun on third down and 8 from the Houston 23-yard line. Got to be careful here. Nico short side left. One back, Dare. Noel motioning around. Here's Stroud taking the snap. Here's pressure. CJ scrambling forward. CJ wants to run, and he slides down at the 31. He got tagged, and here comes the flag as Stroud is still down. And Singleton is calling people over from the Texan sideline, the medical people, because Stroud took a tremendous hit here. That was brutal, and it wasn't Singleton making the hit. It was Chris Abrams Drain with the tag on CJ as he was going down. That was nasty, and Stroud is getting a long look here.
That's how it sounded on the call with, obviously, Mark Vandermeer calling it. And you heard it. Like, Alex Singleton immediately waving to the sideline, like, hey, come get him. That was the scariest portion of this, is that it was immediately evident that, oh, this is a problem with C.J. Stroud. Ultimately, he goes out for the remainder of the game. Wild, wild scenes in that moment.
It was it had all the markings. Nobody knows this for sure unless you're out there. It had all the markings of he was out on the field, and it was very prevalent.
Yeah, you said that while we were up in the press box. You thought you saw a fencing response from him.
It wasn't the classic fencing, both hands up, because he had the ball in one hand, first of all. But it wasn't the classic, almost touchdown type hands up. But his left hand sort of like clawed and was up on his chest, if you watch the replay, and it sure looked like it to me. Again, and the fact that as soon as he hit the ground, You know, Singleton was going like this.
That's always a bad sign when you see the other team.
Yeah. You could tell, okay, he must be out, and we don't know that for sure, but it sure looked like it.
Yeah. Now, obviously, like I said, he ended up in percussion protocol, and he did not return to this game. I think the conversation that started up, or one of the many conversations that started up around this, was what we saw from the officials. They threw the flag when it immediately happened. Abrams Drain, who was the cornerback filling in for Patrick Surtain II, who was out in this game, comes over kind of almost from a blind side of where CJ was. And as CJ very, very lethargically is getting down to slide, he hits him. What we ultimately see is kind of shoulder to CJ's chest.
Yes.
And after a booth review, they pick up the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Fair or foul, John Lopez?
I think fair according to the rules. I mean, he tackled it. You know, he didn't lead with his head. It was one of those plays that just last year, D'Amico Ryans, and this clip has been making the rounds a little bit, when it happened to Azeez Al-Shaair, D'Amico Ryans was saying it puts the defender in a tough spot, when he was defending Azeez Al-Shaair. He didn't necessarily defend Abrams Drain, but when he was defending Azeez Al-Shaair last year, he was saying, you don't know what the quarterback's going to do. It was kind of a sideways slide, So it sucks, because I don't know what would have happened. There was a penalty there that was picked up. What would have happened if they hadn't? But I actually think, according to how they reviewed it, it was a booth review. And so according to how they called it and reviewed it, it's probably fair.
This was the head coach's perspective on it after the game.
CJ scrambled. Of course, he tried to – he slid, and the guy, came up and hit him. As I see, it's unnecessary roughness. And he hit the quarterback when he's sliding and giving himself up. If I'm incorrect on the rule, I've seen that happen multiple times, with our guys, and – we get the penalty, but for some reason, it just didn't happen there. So we'll look at the film and see, what actually happened there. At the end of the day, we lost our starting quarterback. All right, because of the play, and anytime you lose your starting quarterback, it's always tough. Davis battled, tried to do a good job there. He battled, but he just didn't do well offensively once we lost CJ.
Yeah, the frustration for me is that when you see the way that the play ultimately played out, I think I feel similarly to, I think Seth said this when I was hanging out with him at KHOU yesterday, feel similarly about it than I probably would of the Azeez, where, he's getting down late. CJ's getting down late. Obviously, he's looking forward at, I can't remember the defender that's in, Singleton, right? Singleton directly in front of him. And he starts getting down, but it's happening late, and it's happening slowly to the point where Abrams Drain, and now
what's he gonna do?
Now we're doing the thing where we're Zapruder filming, we're going frame by frame. I saw him, what I believed to be him, leading into trying to go make that tackle before CJ is even really starting to drop.
Right.
So I feel bad about it. The only thing that frustrates me is typically the if you're going to err in that in making that call, typically they err on the side of defending the quarterback.
But and
that
again,
was the thing that frustrated me. I think by the letter of what the league has done, and honestly, I think the way that a lot of us who feel for the defenders in this league want it called, that's one of those where you have to have a certain responsibility and culpability as a quarterback. It's just deeply frustrating to see that after a lot of time of this not really being, you know, litigated and or officiated in a way that felt like it was even. Now, maybe with some level of emphasis of, hey, let's try and be a little bit more fair to the defensive linemen or defensive players. Now C.J. Stroud gets caught up in the crosshair, and then you ultimately don't get the penalty.
And again, you know, just last year, D'Amico Ryans was on our side on that, you know, in terms of like, what's the defender supposed to do? But let's not even, you know, we don't necessarily have to dig in on that. What I'm really, you know, interested and concerned about is where the Texans are as a team as a result of this. Because here come the Jacksonville Jaguars, fresh off an overtime win yesterday.
Versus the Raiders.
C.J. Stroud is in the concussion protocol. We know that there are always exceptions, but by and large, that's a good week. Yeah, that's a good week that you're going to miss. And you got to go through five levels of protocol over the course of the week before you get cleared. And each one of those levels has to be clearance from a doctor. So I'm not saying he's not going to play, but history tells us that the odds are against him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I could even get into those levels if you want. One of the things I did in trying to figure out, okay, does CJ play next week and how long does he miss if he misses time? And I just did like a cursory look at, okay, what concussions have we seen? Now, immediately, the easy one here locally, and it's Nico Collins, right? He just missed week 8 with that concussion after, you know, sustaining that week 7, right? That's a wide receiver. I don't know how much that fits in the same way, because one of the things that I was saying, as you were rightfully saying, CJ's not returning to this game. I was like, well, quarterbacks seem to be treated differently. Should they? Absolutely not. No. When it comes to concussions, we need to protect all these players' brains the best that we possibly can. But quarterbacks seem to operate just a little differently. There's a little bit more of an understanding from the league that that's where your bread is buttered. So I was going to try and see if there was maybe anything that I could surmise from the quarterbacks who had recently gotten concussions. So I tried to kind of like go back in my memory banks and use search engines to see if I could find what happened. Do you remember Jalen Hurts dealing with a grade 1 concussion week 16 last year? He got this concussion. He missed week 17. He also missed week 18. However, week 18, they played their third quarterback, Tanner McKee, because they had already wrapped the number 2 spot. So I do wonder if that would have been a 1 week as opposed to a 2 week for Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the Eagles, Houston boy. All right, Trevor Lawrence. Now, people will point to that and go, well, he ended his season after that week 13 matchup with the Texans. But it's worth remembering, and one of the things that we were frustrated with in the moment was that Aziz didn't put him out for the rest of the season based off of a concussion. He was dealing with the clavicle injury where they weren't even sure if he was going to play in that game to begin with.
Right.
And then at that point, they shut him down due to those injuries. Like, I don't think that was a concussion thing. However, he was concussed the year prior in 2023 in week 15. He played the very next week.
Right.
So, like, that's one where you have a guy who has a concussion and plays in the next game. And similarly, if you go back to Josh Allen in 2019, he left a game, and now this is years back, clearly, but he left a game in week 4 versus the Patriots, fourth quarter with a grade 1 concussion, and was available for the next game. So there have been instances where guys their way back. I just wonder, for one, like, how does this ultimately actually litigate it? Is this actually a grade 1? And then it's all about symptoms. Do those symptoms clear up And have we become more attuned to those symptoms? Because a few of those that we're talking about are more than a year ago. And the one that we have the most recent is one where you missed a game.
Yeah, and it is possible. You know, we both mentioned that it has happened. You just illustrated it. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays. And you talk about how quarterbacks are treated differently, and that's true. But the reps during the week for quarterbacks seem to be immensely important. And I don't anticipate him getting a lot of reps. So we'll see, you know, because what if, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, the big practices, if Davis Mills gets the majority of the reps, are they just going to flip and go ahead and go with CJ?
Let me ask you, would you flip?
I probably would.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I probably would. But reps for quarterbacks in a big week like this against Jacksonville, and your game planning and your, you know, getting timing against, you know, in certain plays that you're, you know, putting in for that are immensely important. So it's very, very interesting how it's going to play out this week. Of course, we have all week to talk about it. But here's the other thing. You know, you're 3-5, man. You're 3-5. Jacksonville's 5-3, and the Colts are, what, 7-2?
7-2.
7-2.
We'll talk about that a little bit
later. Yeah, and we will, but what I'm saying is that the importance of him coming back for this game against Jacksonville.
Assuming that he's ready to, right? Like, nobody wants him to play.
Exactly.
And I hear this. Astro on the YouTube says, who cares if CJ comes back next week? This offense still sucks. I think that there's variations of suck, man. Like, there are levels of suck, and I hate to say it that way, but I think that's true. What you saw, and not to be the guy that goes, I told you or whatever, but I wonder how those people that were clamoring for, well, let's put Davis Mills out.
Oh, that's over,
here.
Right?
I can't believe we was even entertaining that crap.
It's a very clear difference when you have CJ, and the thing that I noticed was the processing, which is very important for this particular offense, being able to progress through your reads. The processing for CJ happens so much quicker than it did for Davis Mills. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm interested in is, I don't think that you're dead in the water if Davis has to start, because one thing that we can acknowledge is this is a very good Broncos defense, and he had to jump in without preparation into this game.
Sure, sure. And
you look at next week, which is, I think,
speaks to what, like, the reps for the quarterback, right, in that game plan with those plays, what you're implementing. It's kind of important, man.
Yeah, I think when you look at Jacksonville, not nearly the same level of defense as the Denver Broncos.
Sure.
And Davis Mills without an opportunity to prep. He's played in a similar system. If you can give him an idea of, hey, this is what you're looking for in a way that he obviously did not have in this game, can he be a lot more passable than what we saw in that second half? I think yes. How much more ends up being the question where you're trying to find out to get you W's.
Yeah, I kind of lean on the first part you said. That defense is crazy, man. Mm-hmm. So once Davis Mills hopped in there, I'm like, man, if the Texans defense don't stop them for the rest of the game and don't let them score, then I think it's going to be a long day for that offense. Mm.
And you know, the one thing, though, and again, I don't want to victim blame or whatever, because obviously thoughts are very much with C.J. Stroud, who on his foundations page, like a picture of him and his mom, they put up with, like, you know, him saying that he was doing all right. So we're glad to hear that. On the very play, that third and long that ultimately he gets hit short on, there's a lot more room to his left if he had decided to veer that way. I don't know that he would have picked up the first down still, but I do wonder if going away from Abram's drain, if he might have had a better outcome. Now, of course, that's all, you know, all hindsight, and it's always 20-20. But yeah, I was looking at that. I was like, there's a lot more room towards his left if he does not just go barrel straight towards Alex Singleton. But yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's going to be a conversation that I'm guaranteeing that we have all week long after a 18-15 loss versus the Denver Broncos. All right, coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. What word describes your emotions after the 18-15 loss to the Denver Broncos? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. All right, question of the day here as we react to an 18-15 loss by your Texans against the Denver Broncos. What word describes your emotions after the 18-15 loss? Apparently, I might need to revise that to words because y'all are sending a lot of
hyphens.
We appreciate that, though. 713-572-4610. Right before we get there, though, somebody said, you know, like, what do you expect when the quarterback is under so much pressure? It didn't feel like that was the case in this game.
I didn't think so. Like, Davis Mills, I mean, there was a little bit here and there. He would have to step around, you know, muddle through some traffic. Nothing more than you see on any given Sunday for any given team.
No. All right. So I used next-gen stats and different ways and different places come up with their pressure percentage in different ways. So there's a little bit of variation. But for the purposes of just getting a ballpark idea, right? Yeah. I'm using the pressure percentage presented by next-gen stats. Of 26 qualified passers, where do you think Davis Mills fell when it came to pressures. Number one being the most pressures, which I can tell you is not Davis Mills, was J.J. McCarthy, 58.1%. And number 26 being the absolute least pressures, which I can also tell you is not Davis Mills. That was Aaron Rodgers. He was pressured 10% of his snaps this week.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here from what I eyeball test anyway. I'm going to say 18th.
20th. He was pressured on 24% of his snaps.
That's very acceptable. You should be able to thrive in situations like that.
They didn't get a lot of separation. We can talk about that more. But what was the word that describes your feeling? Because we've got a lot of different words. Expected is a word that comes in from the 713. It goes back to what Lopez says. Their offensive line is just not good enough. Peed the F off, was somebody said.
Four words.
That's a lot of words. Dumbfounded was a word that came in. Agitated, but not angry, they wanted to clarify. It's like having a set of sons where one acts up and the other is fine. You get kicked out of the establishment because of that son, but you still love them. I'm guessing the one that gets that was acting up is the offense in your mind.
Yeah, the one word that comes to mind for me is waste. Just waste. This is a Super Bowl caliber defense. You can win a Super Bowl with this defense. You gave some numbers. Let me give you some numbers here that are really, they kind of boggle the mind. The Texans, and this is no surprise, rank 31st today in red zone percentage. Over the last 3 weeks, they're DFL. So they're 31st and 32nd in red zone percentage. But they're also third in the league in time of possession. So they're third best in the NFL in time of possession today.
I wonder how much of that was because they just had a 41-minute.
And the previous game, too.
Yeah.
Previous game. So they're third in time of possession, but 31st in red zone TDs. That doesn't compute, you know? And 24th overall in points, that definitely doesn't compute. All that time of possession and you're 24th in the league in points?
I mean, it doesn't compute until you look at it, right?
Like, you're wasting the defense.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, it's absolutely incredibly wasteful. Like, I'm trying to find the right word that gets me to the feeling of just blah. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like to come up with a much better word. The thing is, I came out of this game and I was like, I don't even think I'm mad at anything.
That's what I said right out of the shoot.
It's just a whole bunch of, this is kind of the things that keep popping up. The annoying part of it.
Maybe that's the word.
Maybe that is it. Just because it's the same thing, right? And what's most annoying is that it's a thing where we get the back and forth where there's a one step forward and there's a couple steps backwards and then a couple steps forward and one step backwards and we all end up in a similar place. I mean, we did the thing again, right? You got a really good performance from, you know, in week 5 versus the Ravens. You get a bye week, 15 days. You come out against Seattle, you lay an egg. You get a pretty solid performance and a victory that you needed versus the Niners. And then you get a tough opponent in the Broncos and some bad fortune, I will acknowledge. But then you're just not able to get over. It was a lot closer, I would say. I was talking to B. Scott after the game. In that moment, I was like, hey, look, if D'Amico Ryans gets up there and says we're close, I would actually not be nearly as mad.
That's one of the thoughts I put down
in my
notes.
They were close in this one.
But one of the thoughts I put in my notes was, this is the first time all year where they were close.
They were close. But the thing about it is, like, the margins were so thin, and there was a lot of things where I go, margins would have been different if you could punch in a touchdown from 2 yards out. The margins are a little bit different if you let an explosive player like Jalen Knoll stay out there and give you some separation where you weren't able to, you know, get some, it felt like, in the second half. There was a lot of little things that I go, damn, I felt like we already learned this. Yeah, we're in this place again.
Yeah, the word I got that came to my mind was predictable, man.
That's
like
a good one.
Once C.J. Stroud went out, then I'm like, man, this is going to be tough, man, because I feel like the defense was doing really good, but there's but so much you can do throughout the whole game, man. And I was just kind of wondering which side was going to bend. Or not bend, but break.
Right.
Once I seen, I just feel like that last drive was really so predictable, especially for the Broncos. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, all they need is a couple large chunk of plays just to get a field goal range, and that's exactly what happened.
Let me give you an example of why this, to me, waste just echoes in my brain right now. Yesterday's the perfect example. So you get a generational type defense doing generational type things yesterday. You get 2 turnovers. You don't turn over the ball yourselves at all. Your special teams is outstanding. You get the muffed punt from Bandy. You get good returns. You get all these things. The defense was suffocating. You got that short field, like I said. You don't turn the ball over. You control the clock, all these things, and you lose. What a waste of a defense that should be good enough, is good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. You talked about that muffed punt. I believe that was the second biggest positive EPA boost in the game. There's the Dalton Schultz 47-yard pass, which was gorgeous. CJ Stroud connecting with this tight end who's banged up playing through you know, some stuff. And the second biggest positive play of your game was a muffed punt.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what this game was.
Waste.
It's a great one. Expected is a word that comes in on the YouTube. Deflated, resigned, conceded. Wow, okay. Apathy, pathetic are words that are all coming in. Mid, right? Like, there's a lot of these, and these are all really frustrating. These are signs of people kind of letting go of the rope somewhat, John Lopez.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we feel this way because of how the season been overall?
Because of the offense.
Yeah.
You're wasting it.
Yeah, no, like, I feel like it had something to do with how just the offense been performing all season, too, because Davis Mills was in this game a lot of the time. And once he got in, like, I have no faith in Davis Mills. I've seen him already.
Just real quick, I am kind of with D'Amico with what he said. Like, maybe not no excuses, but not a lot of excuses. Keep in mind, they had two red zone, you know, trips with CJ on the field, you know, and then scored touchdowns. So, you know, it was definitely a factor that Davis Mills was in there.
I just think the way the season been going, it just kind of adds to it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the plays that CJ might have made from time to time to help get them up the field, even outside of the general morass of the offense, those ones you saw Davis Mills throw high or maybe just outside of the reach of his wide receiver, and that definitely took them entirely out of the opportunity to have good offensive play. And even with all of that, they were this close.
Yeah.
They were just a hair away from managing to somehow take to overtime or even possibly beat a Denver Broncos team in that game. Waste is definitely a good word to use there. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we head into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll go around the NFL before we hear from D'Amico Ryans. But let's go around the NFL where there were some really good games in the NFL, including what was a really fascinating game in the AFC as well. We'll talk about that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.